language. We begin to actively imitate and reflect Jesus' values and his teaching. And their discipleship is ongoing. It's not a one-time event. I think you'd all agree with that. It's a continuous one. Discipleship is not a course. It is a lifelong process. It is cyclical. It's a growth of transformation. There is always more to learn. Now, my father-in-law was great at modeling discipleship and great at modeling getting into the Word of God. And he taught me a lot. So he was a Bible teacher at a New Tribes college. And his favourite subject and the one he taught the most was Romans. Now, he taught it for years, and I'm talking probably more than 20. But every time the students left, say like in the June, he would then get back into the Word of God, back into Romans, learning more, ready for his next students in the September. What was he doing? He was learning more about God, learning more about the Word. He wanted to bring another level to him and to his students. And as disciples, we should be really keen to do that, to get into God's Word. Because when we know it, we can live it and we can show others. Discipleship is vital. I would say it's safe to assume that you're in this room because you think discipleship is important or because you want to know more. You've probably got a real desire in you to be part of people's discipleship journey. Or it might be that you know that your church is doing great, but it needs to do even better at making disciples. It might be that you want to develop the how of how to develop a discipleship journey pathway so that others can see the way in which your direction in church goes when it comes to discipleship. You want to make discipleship accessible for everybody. It could even be that you didn't want to go to the other sessions and you thought, hey, I'll stay here, but let's hope not. Whatever your reason, and it might be all of them, my prayer is that you get something from this session. Amen. So let's consider the why of discipleship. Well, in the context of Arena, and that's what I can speak from because that's where I belong, our church is a Bible-based church. And therefore, it's quite easy. We want to follow the last command, the last instruction that Jesus gave in the Great Commission to go and make disciples. Matthew 28:19-20 says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these commands I have given you, and be sure of this," and I love this part, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let me just talk a little bit about that word go. So we need to really look at the word go back to and take it back to the Greek. It means participle. So listen to what it means. It's not to move physically, but it is a statement of an ongoing journey. To go, to participle. And then it says to all nations, and that is the people. Discipleship. So let me talk a little bit about the how. So for the past 10 months, there has been a team at Arena working specifically on discipleship. And I think it would have been a shorter term if we all worked a little bit more for church, but we all work part-time. And so it's taken about 10 months. The purpose was to ensure that Arena Church is made up of discipled people as much as what it depends on us. Because sometimes the people have to want it too. Isn't that true? So we were realising that Arena is a growing church and it wasn't enough for them to just come to church, you know? It wasn't enough even for them to say, hey, Jesus, I accept you as saviour. We want more for them and we want them to want more for them too. So church needs to be a balance of reach and discipleship. So the reach is you extend faith to others. And at Arena, we are convinced that we should do that. We should have times where we introduce Jesus to people And we should make sure we have an appeal to make sure they know they can accept Jesus as their saviour. We want to have reach, but then we also want discipleship, an ongoing development and growth in individuals, knowing there's more to come for everyone and from everyone. Jesus modelled discipleship. You probably all know your Bible, but let me remind you, Jesus was intentional, he was relational, and he was personal. And he modelled discipleship through engagement. He loved being with people. He liked being with his disciples. He also welcomed interruptions. He modelled it through teaching, through guiding, through empowering, and also through sending. I would say his model was definitely an iron sharpens iron model. You see, he provided accountability, correction, encouragement, challenge, guidance. We can follow that model too. Let me take you back, actually, further than that 10 months to about a year ago. And there was a few of us in Arena that were having a real stir in, that we wanted to be better at making disciples. I remember a conversation with Tim in our kitchen, and I was like, it's great that Ilkeston is growing, but actually it's so important that we are discipling them. How are we going to do it? We don't want to miss this stirring. It's important. And the same was true of some of our other team members. They were also having that stirring. Well, the Holy Spirit was at work. You see, Christian Thorpe, our lead pastor, was also being stirred to do more around discipleship. And he went off to preach at the Rock Church in Nottingham. And on the side of the wall, there was a discipleship planner, a journey. It included everybody that came to the Rock, those that were new, those that were people already of faith, those that were people that have been a Christian for a long time. And it displayed exactly what they needed to do on a continual process to be discipled. Christian saw it and he thought, I like that. It is a great idea. And he felt prompted into action. And so he came back. He had a conversation with Julie, our executive pastor. And then he said, I'm going to put a team together. And he strategically put a team together. And this is what I want to say to you. Discipleship doesn't just have to fall on the lead pastor, on our teaching pastor, and whoever, you know, might be in your team. What I'd say to you is build a team to do it. So ours consisted of an exec pastor, Julie, Nathan, our small groups pastor, Helen Turner, who is the PA to Christian and also a campus pastor over in Mansfield, and then myself. So he built a team. And then he brought us all together and we sat around the table and we started to talk about what discipleship meant to us all. We looked at what the Rock Church had done and we knew it wasn't the fit for Arena. So we knew we wanted to do something like it, but it wouldn't be the same as it. You have to consider your context. So I asked Christian, why choose that team? And this is what he said, and he wanted me to share it today. He looked across the core team and he wanted chemistry. He also wanted competence. He wanted commitment to discipleship. And the few of us that were on the team had also spoken to him about discipleship. He wanted commitment to the vision of Arena. He wanted a team that would collaboratively work well together. And those that would have capacity. Very interesting, when he was giving his keynote session this morning, he wanted people that would be doers and not just talkers. And then he wanted people who were organised and strategic and prophetic, willing to speak up, willing to bring ideas, willing to pray into it. And this is what made me smile. He said, willing to not be pushed around. See, he wanted us all to have a voice at the table. And so the work began. And we did a bit of an investigation stage. We considered what was happening already in Arena. And I want to say, actually, at this point, there was a lot that was happening. Let me tell you, because you will be able to say, oh, yeah, we do that. Oh, yeah, we do that. We're probably better at discipleship than what we even thought. So we have our Sunday services or on a Monday for our hub campus. Now, these have two main aims. It's the reach and it's the discipleship. It's to save the lost and to inspire the found. We have small groups, which Nathan and Joanna lead on. These are a place where discipleship also happens. We have the tagline for it, but it runs along it, and it is true. It's a place to connect, a place to protect, and a place to grow. And then we have one-to-one mentoring. Now, this would probably be a little bit more of an informal discipleship pathway, or sometimes it can be formal. So, for example, when Tim and I were looking at maybe becoming the campus pastors here, Christian had spoken to us about what he wanted from us and where we were going. Phil and Sharon became our mentors, and they worked with us for a good year, and they still continue to be our mentors now. Get people around you that will iron sharpen iron you. That's important. So mentoring, consider who might be mentors. And then we have Growth Track. This is a three-week process that guides through knowing God, finding freedom, discovering your purpose, and making a difference. And I'm going to stop it there because Nathan's going to explain a little bit more about that in a minute. We have our Bible School, which our teaching pastor, Phil Pye, runs in our campuses, Ilkeston and Mansfield, but all campuses are invited to it. He was telling Tim and I this week that after the one that he does this week and the one after at Mansfield, he only has one more book to cover. That is an amazing form of discipleship and learning. We have our Arena Ministry School, which is a deep dive into the Bible. We have something called Accelerate for leaders, which Christian invites leaders or future leaders to get alongside us, to help us, to sow into us, to guide us, to teach us. And then we have events like one-offs in a year. We have date night, which brings together those that are maybe going to get married, those that are in a relationship, those that are married, and we sow in biblical principles, and we do the same for parenting. We have Alpha at our Belper campus. We have Call to Prayer that happens throughout the life of Arena. Now, this is a place where we come and we pray and we worship, but everybody's invited to it. So those people new to faith start to learn how to worship and how to pray and how to pray out loud. We have training courses like Money Course, Marriage Course. These are all really important and so into the life of people within church. So that's what was happening, but actually we knew where we wanted to get to. So we did something like a gap analysis. And we said, okay, this is being done. There's more to be done. What is next? And so we started to create and plan something for now and something for future. And we demonstrated it in a pathway, in a framework. One that would enable all at Arena, young to the old, to know what was available to them in terms of discipleship here at Arena. And all of which had to coincide with our Arena vision, because we weren't moving from that, to go and grow and love and serve our world. And so now Nathan's going to come up and just show you what we've worked on.
Well done. You all doing okay? Yeah, great. So as you've already heard, I'm Nathan, one of the leaders here. Just great just to share the second half of what's been really set up really well by Helen in terms of discipleship. So I'm just going to talk through some of kind of the frameworks, some of the things that we looked at together, but there's just kind of a couple of things that I wanted to kind of underpin before we kind of speak into that. And as Helen said, we had all these things kind of running throughout the church, but we really felt that there wasn't just a really simple way to explain how it all works together and how it all formulates and how people should come through that. So just clarifications, just points to outline. Firstly, your discipleship program or framework should cover every person and every step of the journey. So hopefully the idea is that you've got something in mind that covers, you know, right from the beginning, the person who comes to church for the first time, or maybe even the person that's not at church yet, you know, people's friends reaching out all the way, you know, along the journey to people that you're looking to develop as leaders in your church, and everything obviously in between. Sometimes when we talk about discipleship, we just think about the top end, or we just think about the people who've been Christians for many years, you know, what we're doing for them. But no, it's about every kind of part of that journey. And then secondly, as Helen has already said really well, discipleship is not a course or a program. It should run through the core of everything you do. So we've just had a great session downstairs when Mark was speaking about mission and talking about mission being a part of everything. I think it's the same for discipleship. You know, we don't just run a discipleship night, you know, where we just, oh, our discipleship night is Tuesday night. And I understand sometimes why we use that kind of terminology, but in reality, discipleship should run through everything we do. So, you know, as we said, our Sunday services are a part of discipleship, because as a church at Arena, we're committed to reaching the lost and inspiring the found. So if people don't come away from a Sunday feeling some sort of challenge or something inputted into them, then there's something maybe not quite right, because that's part of the discipleship journey. And, you know, we're wanting to create an atmosphere for God to move and speak into people's hearts and to do all of that. I would even say as well that social events are part of discipleship as well. If you're really, really intentional about it, it's about people creating relationships. You know, who is, you know, when you, I don't know if you might do social events at your church, but it's a great opportunity to look around and see, who have I not connected with before? You know, God, is there anything you want me to encourage in this person? Or just creating those relationships, because we know that discipleship is best done through relationship. You know, there are certain things that we need to almost assimilate or teach in a forum, and there is a place for that, but we also need to be a people that are focused on relationships as well. So, as Helen said, we knew that there were probably some gaps, and we wanted to address that as we looked at that together in our group, and we wanted to create a discipleship journey that made everything coherent together. But I want to take you to some of kind of the frameworks that we've used in the past. I want to take you to about kind of 10 years or ago or so, and Christian, our lead pastor, made a connection with the GROW network. And it's a network run by Church of the Highlands in America and Alabama by a pastor called Chris Hodges, who's actually now passing the church on to another pastor. But anyone heard of Church of the Highlands, Chris Hodges? Yeah, so they're the church that started and pioneered Growth Track. And kind of when Christian went over there, was just really, really kind of inspired. Just felt something really click as it kind of heard some of the things that were shared there. And for us as a church, the GROW network has been a massive, massive help to us, because they'd offered so many things like for free. They'd even let you take their resources and put your own branding on it and put your own name on it. And just it's just been really, really helpful for us. So the first image will come up on the screen. And if you want to take pictures of some of these, you can. But this was kind of the first sort of framework that we kind of started working with. And you can see at the top there, you might not be able to see it that clearly because of the white writing. But on the top on the left-hand side, it says the mission. So our mission as a church is always, and always kind of will be, to go and grow and love and serve our world. And that's part of our mission and vision. But then under that kind of, a vision of knowing God, finding freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And then it kind of talks about the system. So how do we get people to know God? It's through our weekend services. That's one of the ways. How do we get people to find freedom? It's through small groups. We have the Growth Track, which helps people to discover their purpose. And then we have Dream Teams, which is serving, which helps people to make a difference as well. And it's really important to kind of signify that the Growth Track, it's not just a When it first started, it was a 4-week course and it went down to 3, but it wasn't just a course, but it was also a framework to work under as well. So what would happen is every new person, and this is something we've done for a long time, who came to the church, we would do the growth track with them, and it would be a 3 or 4 week process. We would tend to do it on a Sunday afternoon, just because we found it really worked really well, because people are already here. We'd say, oh, when you stay a little bit longer, we'll give you some lunch, you know, and we'll go through this process with you. And first week would be about know God, second week finding freedom, third week discover your purpose and make a difference. And that wasn't to encapsulate everything, but that was to introduce people to those elements, right? So, you know, on the first week, it wasn't that, oh, now you've completed knowing God, that's it. It was, no, this is a start of the journey. You know, this is what it means to know God, and we want you to continually know God. You know, finding freedom was encouraging people to connect in small groups, and we would show them small groups and give them the opportunity. And then the other two areas was to try and help them find somewhere they could connect into the church and join a small group as well. And there's at the bottom there, you can see growth track action steps, so some things. So that was kind of a bit of a framework that we used for quite a long time. And just to say, look, there were a lot of other things, as Helen said, that ran alongside these things. But everything we tried to kind of run kind of through this framework of knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, and making a difference. So we'd been running Growth Track for many years, and through this working group, we were trying to summarize where we were at the time. So we'd had this for a long time, and we came together in this group and said, right, where are we now? And that brings us onto the next image. So you can see, maybe in design element, a bit of an updating. looks a little bit more current. But again, we was trying to summarize, you know, where are we? What kind of place are we at this stage? We're still running through growth tracks, so we still had know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. But we'd kind of try to add all the things that we do in our church, you know, under these headings. So saying, well, if we're going to commit to these kind of 4 things, can we find a heading that we're going to put it under? You know, because if that's what we're going to commit to, maybe we need to kind of try and find some areas under that. And these are some of the kind of the big headings that we'd used. It doesn't cover every single thing, because as you'll know and you'll experience in your own church, there are sometimes seasonal things. You know, you'll realize maybe in a moment, actually, we've got a lot of young guys, we need to do something for young guys. Or we've got a lot of this type of people, we need to do something for that. So there are times and seasons that you have to sense that as well. But we were kind of trying to think of, maybe, God, is there another way that you want us to capture this in our own church, in our discipleship journey, in our framework? Is there another way that you want us to look at it? So we started to ask some different questions. And one of the questions we asked was, what do we have for every type of person in our church? So if we put, you know, into categories, what do we have for those people? So if we thought about people new to faith, or people new to Arena, and everyone else. So this brings us on to the next image, where we thought, well, maybe we should split it up into 3 areas, where actually we make a list of things that are for people who are new to faith, or maybe we have a list of things that, you know, people who are new to Arena, because, you know, we all know that people come from other churches from time to time, and then other things for everyone. But we just weren't quite kind of maybe content with that. We made a list, but we weren't, I guess, quite happy with this, but we were just kind of exploring, trying to think of different ways to look at it. And this brings us on to what Helen mentioned about the Rock Church. If we bring up the next image, Christian had found this at the Rock Church in Nottingham. a very detailed discipleship pathway. Almost looks a bit like a train station or a tube station or something like that. Obviously, it's very graphic. It's, I think, really interesting. There's a lot of detail in there. And this is actually something that they have publicly available that they want everybody to see because they want people to know what their next step is, you know, where they're going and find out where they are on this track and kind of be able to point themselves to the next step in the journey. And actually, you can find this on their website. So it's publicly available. So there's a lot of detail and a lot to digest on there. And we were looking at this, like, do we create something that's a bit more like a pathway, you know, where people can find where they are on this pathway and they can, you know, can place themselves and work out what their next step is. But as we were discussing, we just didn't quite feel it was us. We liked it. We thought it was really, really great. And look, as a church, every single church has got to work out what works for you, but we just didn't feel it worked for you. What's good about something like this is it does help you to find the next kind of step, but sometimes with things like this, it maybe is a bit too simplified because we know that, like we said, discipleship is cyclical. It's not always a next step. There are a lot of kind of different complexities to it. So as we were kind of thinking, right, what do we do? Like, we looked at all these different things, we weren't quite satisfied, we went right back to basics. So, right, let's go right back to the beginning. You know, before we create a framework, what is a disciple? What's a disciple? Now, can we make a definition of what a disciple is? Because if we're not really clear on what a discipleship is, then we're not going to be clear in how we make disciples and how we create a framework. So we came up with this statement, something we feel sums it up really well, with four different D's that line up with the D of disciple. So a disciple makes a decision to follow God, has a desire and dedication to continually grow and display their faith to others. So firstly, it's got to start with a decision. There has to be at some moment where someone makes the decision, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm sure we've all probably seen it. You know, there are, you might even know people in your church who've been coming for a long, long time and you're not clear whether they've made a decision. It's got to start with a decision. There's got to be a moment where the person says, I'm going to become a disciple. I'm going to follow Jesus. Then secondly, that person has got to have a desire and a dedication to continually grow. And I think there's a reason why we use the two words, because a lot of us can talk about desire. You know, in a moment, oh, yeah, I want to grow. I want to go on the next step, but maybe the next morning you don't kind of feel like it, or, you know, sometimes desire talks a bit to kind of emotion, and I think dedication talks to action. Obviously, God uses our emotion and works through it, but I believe it's the two things together. You know, a disciple's got to have their own desire to grow. You know, we can want as much as we want for other people, but unless they want it for themselves, it's not going to make any difference, right? So they've got to have a desire themselves and then a dedication to want to grow in their own journey. And then lastly, it's always, always, always got to result in displaying to other people. So when people are growing as disciples, when they're growing in their journey, it always, always works out in the person looking different. You know, into their words, their speech, their whole demeanor, how they act. And, you know, even to the point of sharing their faith with other people. So this is what we came up with, and we thought it was a good way for us to define discipleship and what a disciple looks like. And then after this, we were looking at different models and we were brainstorming, and I actually after one of our meetings, I actually had a bit of a kind of just an image in my head, and I'm not a very good drawer. Art is not my strong point. But I started drawing something in my notepad, and it's something we started talking about in one of our next meetings, that, well, what if we could base a discipleship journey on something that looked more like a tree? You know, Jesus liked to use imagery. The Bible talks a lot about fruit, about being fruitful, about working through fruit and through plants and trees. And we started to talk about, well, what if we could kind of craft a discipleship pathway through the image of a tree and through the kind of what Jesus talks about in John chapter 15. And it's the key verse from John 15, verse 4, where Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And then we came up kind of with this kind of image that's going to come up on the screen. And now this isn't final. This is just kind of some ideas, and this is not perfect. This is just something we're working through and looking at the moment. So we've got our disciple kind of definition on the left-hand side. We've got that Bible verse on the left in the bottom corner, which kind of sums up everything. But we kind of came up with the image of, like, well, what if we could really build roots in people, you know, some daily rhythms in people that would actually help them to thrive, and then in result help them to produce fruit in their lives. You know, how often do you feel like sometimes we're kind of just maybe going round circles, and I think sometimes we go to the fruit without kind of looking at the root and building something deep down in people first that will serve them for the rest of their lives. So I'll just explain really, really quickly. So we've got at the bottom, now this is from kind of the bottom to the top, an idea that whenever someone comes into church first time, we would give them the opportunity to come to a New to Arena launch. Now, we run similar sorts of things at the moment. This is an opportunity for the person to find out about who we are, what we do, kind of the leadership, just to kind of familiarize themselves with everything. So that's like the entry point. Throughout our kind of time in researching and thinking about kind of different courses, because who knows, there are so many courses and things out there. Almost, you kind of wonder whether there's too much, you know. Sometimes when there's so many options, it's difficult to make an option. But we came across a course called Rooted, which is developed by Mariners Church in America. This course was firstly known to us through National Community Church, which is Mark Batterson's church. And basically, it's not a course, it's more of an experience. It's a book where people read 5 pages a week at home on their own, and then meet together with a group weekly, and they talk kind of around what's been looked at in the week, and they kind of journey through it together. But what is really important is that through this experience is that it teaches 7 daily rhythms. So you can see those in the roots there. So you've got daily devotion, prayer, repentance, worship, sharing your story, sacrificial generosity, and serving the community. So the idea is like, look, there's no point focusing on anything else if you don't have the roots in place. Because the likelihood, if you don't have deep roots, at some point people are going to falter and they're going to need to go back to the roots again. So first and foremost, you know, we're going to focus on the roots. So we're going to run this kind of Rooted to help people develop these roots in their life. Then after that, we would develop a how we grow. So this would be something that's more personalized to our church. So after Rooted, we would then speak to the people and say, look, we want you to thrive in our church. We want you to grow fruit. We would then talk about John 15:4 and about what a disciple is and say how Jesus talks about us being rooted in him, and we want you to bear fruit. And then we would talk about our own kind of vision and how that looks for that person. So we believe that every single person should have fruit shown in their lives. Amen? Yeah? And what we've tried to do is to kind of show some different types of broad branches that should be the fruit that come out of people's lives. So they have the roots there, and then after they go out, what should show out in their lives is that they're kind of regularly attending corporate gatherings, that they're that's a key part of their lives, that they're maybe a part of a small group, that they're serving, that they're getting involved with some of the discipleship courses in the church, that they're regularly giving, and that actually that they're getting involved and maybe looking to lead in the future. Now, we've tried to keep it as broad as possible because we all know that things change from time to time. You know, we don't need to speak to specifics, but rather to principles. So the idea is that they'd go and do the Rooted, then they'd come and we would speak to them about discipleship and say, look, as a church, our vision is to go and grow, love and serve. We believe that God wants you to be fruitful. And under that, we've got all these things that we believe God wants you to step into. And this is what fruit may look like in your life. I've tried not to spend too much time today, but hopefully, I know it's a lot to take in and there'll be some time for questions, but hopefully that's helped to explain a little bit of what we're looking at the moment. So I just want to leave you, before opening up for questions, leave you just with some thoughts, some things to ask for yourself, for your church. You know, firstly, how are you doing in your discipleship as a church? You know, ask, if you're a pastor here today, maybe ask some different people. You know, you'll probably see it differently. And that's a good thing. It's good to get different opinions. Secondly, does everyone know what their next step is? Could you ask people in your church what their next step is, and would they be able to articulate it? Maybe that's something that we need to make clearer to people. Do you have something in place for everyone in your church? Those who are new, you know, first time, or those who've been coming for a while, or, you know, maybe those who are looking to step into leadership. Do you have any gaps? Are there any, you know, and you've got to really sense God's prompting on this. Because I think it's God that prompts us. You know, when he puts a burden on our hearts, when we see a need, it's often God saying to us, you need to have a look at that, you know. So I'd encourage you, you know, just to have a think about some of these questions. If you're part of a church and you're not a pastor, obviously, if you're feeling something, sensing something, broach it sensitively with your pastor. Don't just say, we need to do this, 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 and this. You know, come with ideas, solutions, rather than problems. You know, think and pray and reflect on it. Look, this has been a long journey for us. Look, we're not at the end point. We're just at a place where we're starting to formulate some of these ideas. I think the most important part is, you know, God, Jesus has called us to make disciples. You know, one of the biggest accusations sometimes to churches is that we're just making converts and not disciples, not people who are truly changed by the Holy Spirit and by God. What are we doing to encourage people? What are we putting on? What do we have in place that takes people on a journey to finding their purpose, to growing, and to eventually producing their own fruit in their lives? So I just want to open it up. Are there any questions in this place? Helen, do you want to come up as well? Sure. If you've got nothing at the moment, firstly, what I would say is pray. Maybe get a sense from God on maybe what you need to focus on. You've got to contextualize all this. So what's in your church? Do you have a lot of new people new to faith? If you have a lot of people new to faith, then you need to do something for them, right? So maybe try and find out what's in your church. There will, you know, hopefully be a stage where you've got lots of different people at different steps and you can start to say, but maybe identify the things that are the most pressing. Maybe even just a starting point of thinking about, well, what do you do for someone who comes new on a Sunday? You know, what is that experience like? Because that's part of the discipleship journey. You know, do you regularly do appeals on a Sunday? Is there a place for them to understand that decision? You know, so I think pray about it. Think about what is the biggest need in your church and just start somewhere. Just start somewhere and I guess see where that takes you. Is anything you want to?
No, my only thought is start. Literally, if there is nothing, start. We're called to make disciples. Yeah, so I guess if that's your team, you start to disciple them. Get them discipled, take them through something, because then they're going to go through it. It's cyclical. They can pass it on to others.
So. Look, just say, I've been at this church for 11, 12 years now, and I came from Bible college, but there was still a lot I didn't know. A lot of the things I feel that are happening or I'm doing in my life now is because Christian's imparted in me. You know, Christian and Phil, they did, one of the things I remember, they did something called Armor Bearers for a while. And we had to get up and meet them at, was it 6:30 in the morning or something like this. Someone who's a bit younger, was like, what? Like, that time exists? But, you know, just starting somewhere, isn't it? You know, if you haven't got the people to do it, well, what can you do as their leader? Just start with that. What can you do as their leader? And discipleship is always about people passing on what they know to someone else. So what do you know and what can you pass on to other people? What do some of the people in the church know and what can they pass on to someone else? Maybe just something as simple as that.
Pray for him. And I say that as a joke, but I actually really, really mean it. So one of my things as a campus pastor in Ilkeston, we have quite a few new Christians, and I am so grateful to God for that, obviously. But my biggest prayer is for them to have a real deep down desire that goes from here to here. And so they were like, no, I want to be part of that. I want to be a disciple. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to walk like him. I want to talk like him. I want to show his attitudes. I want to show his character. Pray for them. And then also, so just a practical example, we've got four ladies in our church. Three of them have been recently baptized. One was baptized last year, and they've been on my heart and my mind a lot. And I thought it's not good enough to just have them on my heart and my mind a lot. So I'm going to meet them in a coffee shop, and I'm going to talk to them about what they need to know. So hopefully I can start to fuel something in them so that their journey becomes more of a desire and a dedication and a display. So get alongside people too.
Yeah, I think, so is it accountability, nurture, correction? I think all of that has definitely got to come through relationship. I think personally, I think relationships take a lot longer to build than we take credit for. And I think it is really important that we have the facility for accountability. And obviously that's got to be appropriate. We have different, I think, modes for that. And I think small groups are a really great place for accountability. But then again, there's layers to it. So you're not going to tell everything of your life or your darkest secrets necessarily in a small group. You need to find a person that you're going to kind of speak with that about, or someone that's going to help with that. So I think as churches, it's really important for us to create the atmosphere and create the context for people to build those relationships. So it comes a little bit more naturally. Now, as leaders, we've got to identify, you know, if there's people that you're intentionally discipling, there's got to be that sense of that. But I think as well, you know, if you've got, as a pastor or as a leader, you can't have that one-on-one conversation with every single person, but you can try and create an atmosphere and context for people to find that with someone else. So I think it's about all those sorts of things. And I think accountability only comes over time. I think correction, unless, again, it depends on where the person is at. You know, a lot of the things that we emphasize is grace and truth. So always leading with grace with someone, but being truthful as well. And I think depending on the person's journey, you've got to try and work out when's the right time to speak into certain things. Because I think a lot of the time people know what they should be doing, but it's just about finding the right time to journey that through. So sorry, it's not really an easy answer, but I think it's through relationship, through God prompting, just helping people on that journey and just being a help. Is that an answer to the question? I feel like I've spoken around it quite a bit. I don't feel personally like we've ever felt there's been a limit of opportunities, but I think in some ways there's always, I don't know, I guess it's part of maybe having a big vision that we've not always had enough people to do what we want to do, which is what I feel personally. I guess it depends on what it is, you know, if you're, it depends what you see as the end game. I mean, if you see the end game as every person preaching, obviously that's not going to happen. But I think it's being clear with people and helping people find out what their end game is, or what their purpose is, or what God is calling them to. And, you know, I think just encouraging people into that and taking them on the journey of that. And I think being honest and open that sometimes these things take longer than you anticipate. You know, we all want the opportunity tomorrow, whereas God wants, sometimes it takes a long time. I've said this a couple of times, but I know when I first came here, like, one of the frustrations I had as a young guy is that I didn't verbalize this, but internally I was like, I want more preaching opportunities. I want to speak. But after God dealt with me a little bit more time, I'm actually probably more the other side, whereas I'm not sure I want to do it. Like, you know, God has worked something in. So I think it's as you're working, I think if we do discipleship in the right way and guide people in the right way, I think he will lead people into what they're calling them into. Just one last question, very quickly.
the disciple, the person they've maybe mentoring. You've got confidentiality. You don't want somebody to feel that they're being heavy shepherded, if you like, that there's no manipulation. So how are you, is there any kind of oversight for that sort of thing? That's not a problem.
No, it's a good question. Yeah, really good question, actually. So I'll take it if that's all right. So confidentiality is key. And as a nurse, I am really clear about confidentiality. And I try and use that then in mentoring or in discipleship. So I will always say to people, and I will verbalise it, everything you say to me is confidential and I actually won't share it. And you can trust me in that. And I don't say those words lightly because I mean what I say. On the proviso, obviously, that I will then say, but if there's something that you share with me that makes me concerned for your safety or others in church, then I'll tell you that I'm going to have to tell, like, your campus pastor or the lead pastor. I'm going to have to discuss it with somebody. But I'll make sure I tell you that I'm going to do that. And I think you start that right from the beginning of any mentorship, particularly if it's a one-on-one or in a group, because people need to feel safe. They need to feel that you've got their back. Yeah. They need to know that what they do say to you, you will hold. But then I guess when it comes to accountability, you've started with that, but then that allows you to have accountability with that person. You're always going into a bit of a contract, aren't you, saying, you can trust me, I mean it. I won't say anything, but then what I would say is you have to stay to that word. Don't ever slip, because if you break that confidentiality once, it'll be gone in that relationship. So it's a good question, an important question. Sorry. Well, I guess you're going into a accountability relationship. So I would say people want to go into an accountability relationship because they want to be held accountable. So that's number one. And I think if they break that accountability or the person then goes spills everywhere else, I would probably have a very tender conversation with them. And I'd ask them why that's happened as I get alongside them. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you. Over to Phil.